We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve the minutes of the meeting held November 16th, 2022. Approve all claims through November 30th, 2022 in the amount of $769,228.58. Accept claim number 22120058 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $27,878.65 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Don Schuster as alternate on the Variance Board. Approve having the chairman sign the certification statement pertaining to the cost allocation plan. Approve specs for bridge repair number C00341-2405 and call for bids on December 28th, 2022. Bids to be opened for that at 9:15 a.m. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented or any items you'd like pulled off.
I'd like to pull number 7.
Any other items to remove from the consent agenda? If not, I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 6.
Move to approve. Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Approve specs for bridge repair number C00341-2405 and call for bids on December 28, 2022. Bids to be opened at 9:15 a.m. Ms. Haxby.
First part of that, December 28th, if we can do 21 days or 20 days for bid calls, could we do a special meeting to open those bids on the 21st instead of the 28th?
You get the publication in.
I can give it in today, to them today. It's supposed to run, we hope, Friday or Saturday. So that would be, it's not a full week, but that would be in the first week. So you have to go from there. So you have
5, 10. Did I say 20 days as opposed to the full 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So we'd be okay with that.
20 days. Plus 3 consecutive weeks. So if I can get it in this week yet, 2, 3, we should be okay. If they're not counting weekdays. It just says days, right? Roger on that. It doesn't specify which kind of days. Roger. It just says days, right? It's not working days or
no, just 20 days.
Yeah, so then we should be okay.
It'd be 21 days.
So yes, that would be a possibility. All we would need would be, if we want to have an actual special meeting, we would just need 4 of us here.
I'll be there. I'd like to amend that for the 21st.
You'd like to make a motion to amend that to opening bids the 21st instead of the 28th?
Yep.
All right. Mr. Jurgens?
We have an audience here concerning this project, and I think their main question is for everybody on this board to answer, why isn't this an emergency? And if we were on their side of it, everybody would say this is an emergency. So that's all I'm going to say, and people from the audience can talk about it.
Anything from this side of the board before we go to the public? If any of you would like to come up and talk, if you could give your name and address for the record.
Here, we can pass them around, Jason, if you want.
All right, thank you. I'm Jason Pullman. My address is 10977 West Hackberry Road, DeWitt, Nebraska. And I am, I'm a lifelong Gage County resident. I just happen to be on one side of this river bridge, and a lot of our farm stuff is on the other. It's split between both sides. We've got livestock on both sides. This has been beyond frustrating. We're over a year now that this has taken, and I really don't know that there's anything done yet. You guys can correct me, I guess, but sounds like we're just getting ready to take bids, if I'm not mistaken. So I guess I would just ask that the board declare this an emergency. This is costing the taxpayers of Gage County every day. They have to drive around. As you can see on my map, if you have to drive, take the DeWitt route around, you're 8 miles. If you take the Hoyg route, it's 12 miles around. Where you could have just went straight across the river bridge and been on your way. School buses take this route. Mail carriers take this route. Let's declare it an emergency and get things rolling. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. So that could play into property. Would anyone else like to come up and speak on the Bus River Bridge? So declaring an emergency, we were all on the same page Monday. Jason, I'm sorry, there is nothing done. This was frustrating to us. It got brought up again and again, meeting after meeting. Eventually, it came to a head, and there was some push towards why isn't this designed? There's no good reason why this hasn't been designed and bid out yet. It's just beyond ridiculous. Along the way, we found some additional issues with that bridge. Ideally, these would have been caught sooner. There were reports in years past, but nothing was done at that time either. I don't think anyone on the board was aware of the reports of failing members at that time. As we pushed on that, we came up with several different designs. They weren't exactly sure how to fix it, if it was going to have to be completely demolished and put back. Ideally, it would be a quicker repair that would be permanent still. A permanent repair design was established, and on Monday we were ready to place things on the agenda to award those to a contractor. We have numbers, we have design, we have everything in place. Then we started looking at what constitutes an emergency. So for us to declare it an emergency, it needs to show it's going to cause loss of life. Roger, will you read that, please?
Basically, the statute says necessary to meet an emergency which threatens serious loss of life, health, or property in the county.
And so regardless of whether it really is an actual emergency, legally we're bound by these four bidding practices. It's the idea behind the bidding practices are to make sure that there's no favoritism shown. Everything is open to bidders to come in. So a government body like ourselves isn't handing work to a contractor. It's a safety mechanism to try to protect the public from something backhanded with government. It's never our intent to do anything like that. We try to keep things as transparent as possible, even to our own detriment at times. And that's where we ran into the dilemma. This is something we could move forward with in 2 weeks, where if we're trying to follow the rules and the statutes that we have to abide by, they don't make sense to us and we don't like them, but I think we're all interpreting them that we do have to follow the statute just because of the definition of an emergency. I guess with that, I'll turn it over to the board for any discussion. This is not something we're liking. There's no good reason why this has taken so long. We've had discussions with the engineer on that as well. I don't have a good reason for it. The emergency part here at the end, we're struggling with a little bit too, trying to maintain transparency and follow the statutes that we're legally bound to follow. Mr. Juergens.
I'll go through a little bit. When the bridge was closed, there on the pilings, there was rusted areas that need to be repaired. That's the main reason. The columns, I don't know how many more were there, Mark, eight or ten columns that were at the water level bad. We have an engineer, Mark Minnelli, and associates that Mark had contacted immediately, come up with some kind of a fix, something like that. And this was done when, Eric?
At least 6 months ago, I would think.
At least six, 8 months ago. Mark would know more. for some reason, the ball was dropped. We got no specs, no repairs, no anything to be done on that bid. I think then Eric had phoned Mark personally and told him, hey, we got to get something done here. Approximately when was that?
I don't remember.
Three months ago. And they did come down, and they came up with a plan, okay? All of a sudden, there was a bridge contractor involved, and I'll just tell you flat out that he would be ready to mobilize in a week or so and was going to work. My thought was the river is low now. Now is the time to fix it. Now is the time to get it done. But, I mean, we're going to hurt ourselves 2 weeks here. Hopefully, this contractor will come back and bid it. That's my worry. Now we're going to... Anyway, long story short, Monday at the meeting, Roger, Don come up with these things that we have to follow. And I don't want to say it, but I will. That's probably the direction that we have to take for now. We're going to set 2 weeks here, and hopefully we will have a bid from the contractor that has been looking at this thing and come back and be able to get it done in short order. But that's all weather-related, everything else. We're going into a bad time of year for that type of construction. We'll see how it plays out. And then that's the story. Good or bad, that's what happened.
I will say, when we had initial designs, we were going to encapsulate those beams in concrete with basically a corrugated metal pipe on the outside, fill it with concrete. It would be a structural fix. Put some studs on it or some spuds. I made the mistake of telling someone 4 months ago this bridge would be under construction within a couple weeks. And I'm reminded of it each time I see him because it's still not under construction. We had that impression that we would be moving forward. That design is completely out the window now. And Mark, you may want to touch on this with the way we're going to construct the bridge now. Do you want to touch on weight ratings or potential weight rating changes? I mean, of course, it depends on composite deck or not.
Correct. The load rating should almost double, depending on once we get the deck cut open and find out if it is a composite or a non-composite deck. And what the difference is there is if there are welded studs on top of the structure members that interlock the structure members to the concrete, that'll tell us if it's a composite deck. And with that, the load rating should double, if I remember correctly. If it is a non-composite, it will still raise, but it will not be where it would be if it was a composite deck.
So there is some potential positive with the different design that's being bid out. None of us like these rules. We made the comment Monday, if this is private business, something comes up, you make a decision, and you move forward. As a public body, there are often several rules or things put in place that intentionally slow us down. The intentional slowing is so that, I think, at least in my opinion, the intentional slowing is so shady dealings don't happen. You do hear about bidding procedures in other bodies, and we want to keep ours as transparent and correct as possible, I guess, legitimate as possible. It's just very frustrating on our end sometimes, too. Had this been 9 months ago, an extra 2 weeks isn't such a big deal. Here we are at 14 months, I think, or getting close to 14 months, and we still don't have a solution here. Counselor,
we have a solution.
We have a plan.
I think the plan is, you tell. I think they're going to drive sheet piling around all these columns.
There will be new heavier gauge sheet piling driven on each side of the piers with a total of, I believe, 8 at each pier, and then structural members going horizontal, diagonal, and then tying everything back up at the rockers, fixing the rockers so that they're set correctly, and then additional false work to be able to have the crane drive out onto the approach of the bridge to do the perform the work.
Not sheet piling, but H-piling.
H-piling, yes.
That's one thing that will help with weather is the crane will be able to walk out onto the bridge deck now instead of the former design. There was
about 12,000 cubic yards of fill material needed to be brought in for crane pads and rock, then removed, brought to the other side, and then removed again from the location, taken somewhere else. So that's why the additional couple weeks are for restructuring how we're going to get the crane on top to do the work.
Anything else from the board?
So once the contract is bid and the contractor has the equipment they need, the supplies, weather shouldn't play a whole lot of factor. They should be able to get on this no matter, correct?
Yes, sir.
So on that end of it, I guess, you know, that where we don't have to move the dirt and everything, we are capable of doing it as soon as they're able.
Anything else from the public? I wish I had a good reason where I could say and justify why it's been closed this long. I don't. There's no good justification for it. I'm not going to pretend there is. With that, if no one else in the public has anything to add, no one else from the board, I would ask for a motion. Well, I have a motion on the floor to amend item 7 to approve specs for bridge repair number C00341-2405 and call for bids on December 21st, 2022 at a special meeting. Bids to be opened at 9:15. I have a motion. Do I have a second to amend? Roger, do we need to amend this, or do we just make a motion to open the 21st instead of the 28th?
Well, I would go ahead and make the amendment on the agenda item. Now it's on a regular agenda item.
Okay.
And I'd also, well, again, do you want to do it at 9:15?
We can go earlier. We can go 9:15 should be fine time, I suppose. Well,
okay, because you won't have anything else. That's a special meeting, so you're not going to have an agenda, a bunch of items to consider. I just throw that out.
8:30.
That's fine with me.
Change the time to what?
8:30. So I have a motion to amend item 7 to open bids December 21st, 2022 at 8:30 at a special meeting. Motion by Ms. Haxby.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Any discussion on amending the item? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
I would just suggest, since I have a motion to have a special meeting at that time on that date.
I would ask for item seven, then I would ask for a motion to have a special meeting to open bids for bridge repair number C00341-2405 and call for bids on December 21st, 2022.
Just to have a special meeting of this board, because basically you're allowed by statute to have special meetings. I just want to have a separate motion, so it's very
outside
clear.
Of this motion.
Yes, outside of this motion. You've already approved this motion.
We approved the amendment. Should we approve the actual item?
Yeah, you can do that, but I did.
And then okay. A special meeting.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate to make it overly complicated, but we should do that since we're going to a special meeting.
I would ask for a motion to approve the amended consent agenda item.
So moved. Motion. Second.
Moved by Haxby. Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Then I would ask for a motion to have a special meeting on December 21st at 8:30.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Haxby. Second by Swavely. To have a special meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors on December 21st at 8:30. Any discussion on that? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Haxby and second by Swavely. So what we will have, just for the public, we will have a special meeting on the 21st at 8:30. The only item on that bid or on that agenda right now is the bidding of this bridge, which will be the same specs as what we are hoping to approve today. In looking into this, we actually found out there was an additional statute that was going to cost us another week. We thought we were going to be able to do it a little bit quicker, but I do apologize. This shouldn't have taken that long. Like I say, I wish I had a good reason where I can say this bridge is out because of this. There is a little bit of benefit to us not doing it earlier, as we will see some tonnage increase, hopefully a lot of tonnage increase, and a better bridge moving forward. That's the silver lining. That's not much consolation if you're driving 8 miles around every day, and I understand that, and I personally apologize for that. With that, we'll move on to the regular agenda. Thank you all for coming, too, on this item. I wish I had better news for you. Approve or disapprove claim number 22120058 to RL Team and Construction, Inc. in the amount of $27,878.65. This will bring the total amount of claims paid through November 30th, 2022, to $797,107.23. This is a company I'm associated
motion
with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comment from the public on agenda items or on items not on the agenda later? Or any requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, we will move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
Yeah, we had people from the state come down, and we're working with David for the get the communications better up at the two courts. We'll let David come up and talk about everything else that's going on, okay, so he can tell us all about it.
Okay. Yes, conference technology came down earlier, and then we just had a meeting over WebEx, and all they're asking for is to make sure we have pathways. There's going to be 40 cables or so for each courtroom to make sure that everything is in place. So when they do come down, they're anticipating 5 days of work on county court and 7 days of work in the district courtroom. So we'll have that ready for them. We were hoping to start with the restroom project in Extension Office in early November. That got pushed back, and it looks like we're going to start it 1st of January time frame. So it should all go well, I hope. I just want to make sure that we have everything that we're going to need. I know sometimes it's harder to get as far as the restroom stalls and things like that. I'll make sure.
And they made arrangements so that the girls don't have to run across the parking lot.
Right, yes. Earlier they were going to do it all in one at one time. Now they're going to just do, we'll probably do the men's room first and then do the women's room second. Bids for the Veterans Office, the damage done by the hailstorm. I did get one bid, and I'm following up. I got two bids now, and I'm working on a third bid. So I'll have that in 2 weeks, so we can hopefully move forward with that. This would be work that would be done next spring, be the roof and the siding. And winter lights went very well. We had a really nice turnout, very nice weather for it. And next year will be the 35th year, so we're already starting to plan on some improvements that we can do with the lighting. Probably need to replace some light strands and things like that. So, and that's what I had. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
No.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization, we don't really have anything for that right now. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Okay. Excuse me. Large ticket items, Gage County transfer general to judgment fund, $300,000. Smith Schaefer Davis LLC attorney fee, $11,250. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $38,437.28. Contact Engineer Solutions, Culberts, $13,440. RL Team and Construction, Township Gravel and Hauling, $27,878.65.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Human Resource Employee Relations, don't really have anything going on right now, which is good. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Yeah, Lisa's gone on a training project today, so we won't have anything from her. Gus, you got anything now, or everything's later in the meeting, right? Good.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
All the other things we discussed on here is normal activity. But we had a lengthy discussion on the Bus River Bridge, whether you should declare it an emergency, award work to be done. Roger came down to advise the board on the issue. Discussion centered about proper bidding processes, fair bidding process, and transparency. Discussed dust control items elsewhere.
Thank you, sir. Up next, we will get into a discussion on another bridge. Mike Craig and Fritz Blasky. With Marshall County, Kansas. Would you gentlemen come up, I guess, and let us give your names and addresses for the record, and we'll begin the discussion on the bridge. We call it the State Line Bridge or the bridge south of Barnston there, and we'll let you guys take it away.
Good morning. I'm Mike Craig with the Marshall County Public Works Administrator.
I'm Fritz Blasky. I'm a commissioner.
And you guys, we've kind of been in discussion about this bridge for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now. There's a gentleman that moved onto the east side of it, so it's kind of his only way in and out. And I know that he had talked about constructing a new home over there, as you know, needs to get concrete trucks and that type of stuff across there. And we have a couple farmers over there that are. Our plan is we want to get on the same page as you guys because we're being told that they're not going to be allowed to cross, have an easement across the gentleman to the north.
Right.
And so they're going to need this bridge to get in and out. I know that it's on our inventory. The bridge is on our inventory, so we take care of the inspections and we take care of the load ratings and all that on it. So when something like this comes up, then we take care of the getting the engineering and the bridge proposals and everything like that, which I've done that twice now. It keeps going up, so I'm, you know, we're just here to open up discussion with you guys because we've had a lot of he said, they said, you know, and we don't know what's fact or fiction as far as we were told there was an agreement somewhere where the farmers can go across have easement across the neighboring, we don't have anything in writing that says that, and I don't know if you guys do or not either.
Well, and I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
I believe you had conversations with one of the renters, Kim Hawley.
I've talked to, and this morning I invited both of them, both of the landowners here as well. One of the landowners is here. The other couldn't come because of a doctor appointment. We've talked about that bridge, and like I say, you know as well as I do, I know better than saying the board said. I said the board discussed until we're all sitting in the same room, because that can change. But the discussion from the board has kind of been, if there's access, we don't need to provide anything else. And as we've talked, it seemed like there was a civil dispute. But we also heard rumor there was an easement. We hadn't seen anything. Is there an easement? Is there not an easement? Do we provide a bridge for a single property or potentially four properties, something like that down there? That's kind of been the discussion we've had as a board. Mr. Kunkey, do you want to come to the microphone? Mike, this, I don't know if you know Mark. I know you guys have visited.
A few times, yeah.
And Mike and I had talked. It's like, well, I'm going to talk to Mark, and we'll see what we can get this morning so we can all be in the same room and talk about it once. Mark did look into what is registered.
I did go down to the Register of Deeds, and I did pull the easements. There are permanent easements on there for access to the landowner toward the south to use the north property owner's access or driveway. I've also been down there several times with our engineer and our own dirt contractor to look to see if there was options there. I mean, there is options. I just don't know if they're going to be permanent options.
Right. That, you know, we've discussed low water crossings and modular type structures, which we've never built. You know, it's not something that we'd have to hire that done anyway, which we were planning to contract a bridge anyway. And then there was discussion on the engineering and whether all the permits would be for both states, which they would be. It's the low water crossing would be okay for equipment. If this bridge were to ever go down, I'm not sure how the gentleman would get in and out. Low water crossing, he's not going to go through there during high water again, obviously.
And from the time that we were down there, when I was down there with the engineer, there was maybe 4 inches of water.
Right, to
yesterday, there was probably 10 to 12 inches of water flowing through the creek.
Did you happen to do a study on the drainage area?
I have not.
Yeah.
We
haven't either, but it looks like a large area. I don't know what.
There could be the possibility, if we did a hydraulic study on it, that it could size for some larger tubes. I did see some debris in the bridge, so I know the water level has been up there, or a smaller box. There's, I think, some other options there minus a bridge.
Right. I don't know what the cost difference is between a bridge, you know, what the bridge and a concrete box would be, if they're preformed boxes or if they pour them in place. Or
that one, I think we could pour in place, being a rock bottom. It would be pretty simple.
Mr. Juergens?
correct me if I'm wrong. This way I understand it. There is a bridge going to the property now.
Yes, there is.
And it is functional, but it's not. It doesn't have a high rating to it. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct, yeah.
The farm equipment cannot cross it.
Right.
Passenger cars can.
And that type of vehicle can get across there.
Yes. And structurally, it's still...
You can't get a motor grader across it to maintain the road on the other side. They won't cross it with the motor grader.
Okay. I don't know if you have this or not, but an estimated cost of what this project would be?
The last time I had it was, and this has been a couple years ago, I believe it was $192,000. About $192,879.
And that bridge would be rated at what then?
It would not have a load rating. It would be over 20, 25 tons.
How much additional cost would there be for the, the peripheral work, the
that,
head walls?
That would be for the tear out. We would be responsible for backfilling in the concrete, which you're probably looking at $5,000 or $6,000 in concrete.
So about 200.
Right, we'll just say 200. That was several years ago. We're looking. I just bid a 50-footer with $250,000 the other day. So we're probably not looking at that anymore.
Currently, all the farm equipment and everything drives across the farm to the north. Then,
as far as I know, yes. There's nobody coming across the bridge with anything that I know of.
Just cars. I mean, do you have any idea what type of traffic count you have there? Real rough
I'm
numbers.
I'm guessing to the gentleman in and out every day. You know, so there are some other properties over there that they're seasonal, I'm sure, going in and out of there. So I know there's somebody's got a, they take a skid loader and stuff over there, right, on that. I can't remember the gentleman's name now. But,
with the access agreement, I've talked to both owners on that easement, and Mark, you've read through it. I've been told there's supposed to be maintenance on that easement, and no maintenance is being done on the easement, the access easement.
Yeah, that's between the landowners. I
Roger, how does that affect us? I guess with a permanent easement in place, does that dissolve at any time? I mean, is that into perpetuity on that piece of property?
Yeah, unless the two property owners would agree to terminate it.
And if the language says they have to maintain it, maintain that easement, that's between the two property owners. Who regulates that?
Upstairs.
The courts. Upstairs. So that becomes civil also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that basically is between private property, private owners.
Mr. Kimmerling?
Is it okay if I clarify something?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, would you come up to the microphone? Just as Roger said, if the two property owners want to dissolve an easement, Mr. Lineweber's not here, but I assume you all have talked.
Okay, Kevin Kimmerling, 4979 West Highway 136 Beatrice. My father-in-law, Wayne, and I guess, are the gentlemen that own the property to the north. All of the grain from the farm in Kansas and the farm in Nebraska is going down our driveway, which is nothing more than a cabin. It was not designed for 100 semi-loads of corn going in and out every year, and it's going to stop. To clarify further, yes, there is an easement on the Nebraska property to use our driveway, but there is not an easement to us for the property in Kansas. There is no easement there with us. There is in Nebraska, but not Kansas. So regardless, none of the Kansas grain is going to be allowed to use our driveway from here on out. The other easement, if that takes legal action, then we'll pursue that.
Have you talked to Mr. Lineweber? Is he wanting to dissolve that, or is he wanting to continue using it?
Well, you know Wayne as good as I do, so... Is that an answer?
Okay. I understand. So that, from their standpoint, without giving legal advice, then if there's no easement for access from Kansas, then that would be access only in Nebraska? Or is that access for everything?
You don't want a legal opinion.
Okay, I don't want to ask you this question.
I mean, you're in... You know, way over my head at this point. I haven't seen maps or anything else, and like talking with somebody like Kevin, that's important to know, because you may have a...
I just want to clarify, there is an easement in effect for the Nebraska property, but not for the Kansas property.
Yeah, I don't know if they, for that other, what we call the subservient property down in Kansas, if there's an easement down there. I have no idea.
Not to our knowledge.
No, okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
And you said there are several other property owners?
I think there's four property owners on the other side. Does that sound
to
right?
The east.
To the east, yeah, that use the...
And I didn't drive this road. This road then, I'm assuming, goes down into Kansas and just dead ends? Or is there access from the other direction?
You can go west out on this road and then go south into Kansas.
It's on township roads.
Yeah, township roads. Yours is the only rock road going north out of this drive, out of this road. Once you're on State Line Road, then you turn and go north.
I'd like to ask a question. In the beginning, you said that you alternate and you take care of maintain the road up to a certain thing. When you say alternate, what are you talking about? Where we jump from Nebraska or Gage County right. does? And how's that determined?
Thing we probably need to do sometime is get a little better understanding and agreement. And the agreement that I've come in contact that I had on file was from '96, and it shows these shaded areas are Gage counties, and the ones that aren't shaded are miles.
Are you wanting to get rid of some of the Gage County ones and take those over?
No, I was. Well, funny you asked that. I'd trade you. Yours are all box culverts, and mine are all truss bridges. So
that seems to be by design.
I think so. They were probably built by Gage County whenever this, 100 years ago, and ours were built. But we've got 112 foot truss on that's ours on the county line or on the state line as well. That is a 6 ton rating also. So it's not very good.
That one cleared on the east side.
Yeah, clear over to east. Yeah.
Right.
So do I understand correctly, there is access on the other side of that road then? So if that bridge, say, was hypothetically gone, access can be gained on the other side going south and west?
No, not on that side of the bridge. I'm sorry, on the west side.
On the west side, yeah. Okay.
No, there's, as far as I know, you can only go where they're crossing their
property. The east side just goes south and then dead ends.
Can you get... Maybe I need to pull out my plat book. Can you get from the Kansas side to the Nebraska side on the same property?
To the east of the bridge, you mean?
Yeah.
You're talking on the Kansas side. Can a crossing be made?
You're talking about not having an easement for the Kansas side, but if you can get from your Kansas property to your Nebraska property to get to the easement, then you still have an easement.
That's where they're getting to.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't think that's what...
I need to get
we
a map.
We were originally told there was no easement.
And apparently there is not in Kansas.
That there is Nebraska easement. And not
Mark,
Kansas.
Can I see that easement? Can I have a copy?
Mark, would you... Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dorn.
So if there's four property owners on the east side of that bridge, they all had a key when the gate was locked?
The gate is down now. That gentleman, the guy that had the house back there, put the gate up because it had been a year since we had told him that we're going to try to get something done with that. Well, the gate has since been taken down, so we did tell him he had to take the gate down.
I forgot about the gate because we thought that was the end of it at one time also.
Yep, no. We just don't normally, that you can't gate a road. So.
Those other properties, how do they gain access to their property? Or they only use passenger vehicles? There's no farm ground.
I'm assuming they're only, well, the farm ground, they're coming across these guys, I guess.
So all the other neighbors also use your property?
The only property owner would be Lyne Weber. Kim Hawley is the tenant. That's the only equipment, right. I guess, as far as I know, that's coming across there.
The other equipment's coming from the other side?
I think
then?
The other guy might bring a skid loader across there.
To do light
work over there. And then there's a
77, I didn't think.
The Harms kid that lives in the house there on the east side. He goes in and out and pick up. I don't know if he's got a small tractor or what he's got, but he's got to have something if it snows, I guess, to get in and out.
But all the farming operation comes from the east then, other than Mr. Lineweber's tenant.
Yes.
Mark had our engineer, Mr. Minnelli, design a couple of water crossings, but it is only geared towards equipment, basically. It's not geared towards, concrete trucks could go across it, but, of course, it's weather dependent, what water is flowing. I don't know. It basically just comes down to what direction do we want to tell Marshall County, Gage County wants to go.
And you're talking a low water crossing offset from the bridge.
Right. The bridge would remain at...
So you would have... The best way to go on that would probably be to the north with the low water crossing. I don't think the south would be very viable.
Mr. Minnelli, or Mark Kunke, has talked to Mr. Minnelli. I'd like him to come back in, and he'll be able to tell...
Get some copies. Making copies.
Oh, great. That way he can kind of go over what they've discussed. I don't know if that's the right answer or not. I'm just throwing that out there.
So then you're going to have some land acquisition, I'm sure, unless the landowners agree to let them put a low water crossing on them. And then you have to come to who's going to pay for the low water crossing.
And he came up with some pricing on that as well.
Okay.
We can't get involved in any civil items as a county. We have to be kind of careful of that.
Sure.
Just like you guys do. But like Mr. Kimmerling said, you know, everything's great until it's not. And then things can change.
For clarification, the other landowners are all on Kansas side. There's only two landowners involved with this on the north in Nebraska.
Right. The house is on the south side of the road, so it's in the Kansas side.
And Mr. Lineweber owns the farm on the south side, and he owns the farm on the north side. Both farms in Kansas.
The state line.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But there is one more additional landowner in the Kansas
one more
side?
Over on the east side that owns a small port, maybe an 80, 40 acres over on the east side that is that somebody from the Frankfurt area?
Frankfurt area, kind of a hunting preserve.
Okay.
Right, they're
all right.
And that's the guy that probably takes his skid loader over there and does light.
So aside from the easement that's on the Nebraska side, mm-hmm. Mr. Kimmerling and Mr. Scholes are involved with, if we, for just sake of discussion here, disregard that, because that easement is going to be a civil matter between them and Mr. Lineweber. If it was another landowner, I mean, just for sake of discussion again, I mean, Lineweber's got land on both sides at this time. But if that land changes hands, then where are we at? I mean, we have to look to the future. If the land on the south side is no longer owned by Mr. Lineweber, what are the obligations to that landowner by us and you for access? I guess that's what I would focus on for a basis on a decision to what to do with this, because that could it will happen someday. And I don't know what the easement we're talking about. There is no easement. I don't know why it would be a necessity for an easement across the Kansas side.
But you still have to cross the creek.
He's got farm ground on the south side that's coming across. Same land, or same guy farms both sides of the road, I believe. And he's coming north across.
Well, but the road is the easement into it, isn't it? I mean, he wouldn't have to
go across the bridge, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, so there is an easement. It's a township easement.
So, I mean, to answer you a little bit, Don, we've got lots of pieces of property that don't have access to equipment or trucks in the county. I mean,
even by car.
By car, I mean, I think...
I mean, that's the decision, to me, is whether it's owned by Mr. Lineweber or not. What is the obligation to have... What kind of access does that we required to have?
I guess I would ask Counselor that. If there's access provided, does it say we have to provide truck access or equipment access or just an access?
Basically, it's access is the way the statute goes to it.
Of course, it'd be the same for Mr. Harms. I mean, we have to provide him. He
access.
Has to be provided access.
And he's on the Kansas
side. So, yeah.
And the same way with the guy that has the hunting,
Yeah.
So we think of those people. I mean, the issue with Mr. Scholes and Kimmerling is a separate issue.
Right.
They need access as well down that road.
Mr. Schultz is Mr. Kimmerling's father-in-law sitting here.
Okay. And Mr. Lineweber. Okay. I had never heard the word Mr. Schultz.
But you like Wayne and you need access down that road as well, not necessarily to get to your property, but just for right. You own land in the area, so you occasionally have a need to travel down that road and to get across the creek. And the bridge that's there, is it adequate for that? In a car or a pickup? Okay. Right, right. But, okay.
Mr. Conkey, would you go over what you and Mr. Minnelli came up with for potential low water crossings and what that scenario would be, what access that would grant, where, what the costs would be, et cetera?
We looked into a low water easement or a low water crossing just on the north side of the bridge. There was a couple possibilities, you know, putting some tubes in, rock over, and just daylight out the banks yesterday. And then the other option was just daylighting out the banks and using the creek bottom as your base and driving across, just with the minimal traffic that's on there. After yesterday talking with my dirt foreman, he thought there'd be more issues if we did daylight out the banks and just use the creek bottom. He did suggest, you know, probably some larger tubes as a crossing would probably be the most beneficial in there for the traffic, to give the proper access for the equipment that need to go across.
Probably.
Cost-wise, you know, he thought about a week's worth of work, building the slopes, daylighting out the banks, spreading the dirt, you know, to make sure all the drainage was taken care of. So three guys, week's worth of work, a couple trucks hauling in and out, you know, you're probably, what, $25,000 to $5,000?
If there was a low water crossing, and this is a question for Mr. Kimmerling and Mr. Schultz, would that take care of the issue with them crossing on the easement?
I would think so, because they would have access for all of their equipment to get to their land. They wouldn't need to park driveway.
Would they do that?
Well, they're going to have to.
Were you planning to put tubes in with that 2,500, or was that just...
That was just daylighting out, daylight rock bottom.
Okay. That was with using the creek bottom.
Right, and so when you say this, who would maintain the low water crossing?
That'd be the landowner. I mean, that's okay. Just it. Is, I mean,
right.
Now we're performing work on private property that we're opening a can of worms on our side.
Right, and that's kind of...
Line Weber.
I think it's Marshall County.
All in on those sites?
Township blade. That
I'm looking
up
on the plat map, and I'm seeing
pretty soon he's down
Line Weber owns side. Down to the state yeah, line.
He would not own on the south side.
Wayne would not? It would be someone else?
It would be the guy that Frankfurt has.
Okay, I guess playing devil's advocate for all of us here, we have multiple locations where there's not access for equipment or trucks via the road. It's always the scary thing. Once we do something, Counselor, I see you're ready.
Well, that's why when you're buying property out there, you make sure you have a council that looks at this, and when you explain, here's my intended use of it, for instance, this is a hunting easement.
Well, no, there is another easement. I just didn't get the second page copied correctly.
Okay.
It has a because I was reading this.
That
and
is
there
a hunting
is
easement.
In
yes.
Here.
No, there is a agreement for access.
Okay.
I just didn't get the second page copied correctly,
okay,
so I wasn't
that's
giving
fine.
You the full
Again,
information.
I appreciate that. But I mean, so you protect yourself with an easement between there. The two people, and that's the time to get it. And if you can't, maybe it's time to look for some other property. And again, I'm not going to go back over the history. Those two guys know a lot more about the history on this thing, and you had counsel looking after it for them. So I think we probably got, you know.
I mean, per state statute, we have to provide access to any parcel of land, at least one access. That parcel of land that is in Mr. Lineweber's name, there is, that I know of, at least two access points. One is actually on our county road. The other one is on that state line road. The remainder access to get on the other side of the creek, that is more of a convenience factor for Mr. Lineweber. It'd be no different than a pivot crossing a creek. You know, the landowner takes the time or the materials to do that low water or a crossing or so and so. It's the convenience factor of what Mr. Lineweber is looking at right now.
Hence, Mark, a question for you then. There's two accesses. Can that property be accessed without going across the Schultz property?
The west side of the creek can be accessed from either South 80th or the State Line Road. The east side of the creek cannot be accessed except for the State Line Road. Can be accessed from the State Line Road.
Does on the Kansas side, does he own both sides of that? Is that one parcel on the Kansas side, on the, where the creek runs through? On both sides of that creek, is it one parcel?
On both sides of the creek, on the Nebraska side, is one parcel.
On the south, on the Kansas side.
I have no idea.
On the south side of the actual bridge, I believe is that Mr. Johnson from the owns that property, and then you go east of there, and then that turns
and
into
then Harms owns the property around.
Right, the house is the Harms, and then the farm ground is east of there, I would guess, and south. I don't know where.
So the dividing property line is probably the creek running through.
Don't know that for sure. I don't think so.
The creek is kind of on the western quarter
of this quarter other gentleman's
of,
property
of the Nebraska property owner.
The creek would actually be right on the edge of the guy from Frankfurt's property.
Right, Steve
right
Johnson.
Right on the west edge of the property. And then you have Creveland's on the west of that.
It's a lot to do for not many people. We
right.
But the Marshall County Commissioners, we take the stand. We'd rather have something permanent so we don't go through this. A low water crossing is a non-permanent. And you might repair it once in 100 years. You might repair it once every 5 years. We don't know. We're more, even though we don't like to spend money, we think it's better to put a permanent bridge in there. And the fellow wants, Mr. Harms wants to build a house there. The low water crossing, at times, you'll probably get the concrete trucks and stuff across.
Would it be more cost effective to possibly do the hydraulic study on it to see if it could size for some larger tubes? Because then there would be zero maintenance behind it as for bridge inspections, bridge repairs, the long term, I guess. Even a concrete box culvert might be the long term.
Experts would be much more.
I mean, for what we're looking at a bridge cost, a box culvert that size. The drawback I think for the box culvert, the way my engineer talked was we'd have to straighten out the road some sort. So we're doing some road change.
Our maintainer would, not our maintainer, the township maintainer would have to get across to maintain a short distance of road on the east side.
With culverts or a box culvert, there'd be no issues there.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
But as for longevity of maintenance, then you're down there just cleaning out an inlet and outlet.
I guess what's the board's feeling on this? It's my understanding Kansas is ready to move forward with the structure. Is that correct?
We've been
Marshall
ready.
County. Is there want from the board to move forward with a structure to check to see if tubes can be put in? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I'll be the first. I guess my thoughts would be to look at, you know, what our options are as far as the tubes. If that's an option, I think that's probably the way it should go. But I think that if we haven't looked at that option yet, then it needs to be looked at before we agree to do anything. I guess, you know, what I had taken, and I appreciate Kevin and Wayne being here and
clarifying, but what I had taken before was is that all the farm equipment was being handled by the easement going across their property, and that the bridge was handling any passenger traffic that needed to go through on that road. So my understanding was is that other than the personal issue, the civil issue between Wayne and Wayne, everything was handled. I guess that was my understanding as to where things were at with that road.
I think that is the situation, though. Passenger traffic's going on that road, and then all the equipment and trucks for the farming are going across theirs.
But there is no easement from the Kansas farm ground.
And they're bringing everything from Kansas across your easement also.
Is there more acres in Kansas than Nebraska?
His own property on the Nebraska. It doesn't matter. That wouldn't matter.
But we can't give or take legal advice on whether it matters or not.
See, that's where I guess that was the disconnect that we had was is that our understanding was is Wayne between the two of you there was the easement for Wayne's property to bring everything across there.
I'd take it, and I don't need a road.
You smile about it.
I think that's the disconnect that has been.
But we can't get involved in
the civil side of it.
Yeah, where they're running, you know, what he's running back and forth. We can't tell him he can't, anything.
Well, that's where I'm thinking, you know, I think we should make our decision based on that Mr. Lineweber doesn't own both properties. He just happens to own both properties now. Someday he may not. And their easement won't have anything to do with.
Read
it's
the
a perpetual easement.
But all you
yeah,
have
but their
to have
easement
is
has
easement
nothing to do with the property in Kansas.
But again, you can't speculate. You know, when we tell Mark you got to build a road for somebody, they're putting the foundation down and building. I understand what you're saying, but.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I guess
sure.
is,
no, that's
is,
a good question.
Is do we? Because there's certainly potential for that land to be owned.
So regardless of who owns it, the easement is with the property, not with the people. So if all of us are...
Perpetual easement, that's exactly what... Yeah.
So, Don, if none of us are walking the earth anymore, that easement still outlasts us.
What can I get, sir?
Roger said, though, was that it's up to your... If that other piece of land were to ever sell, you hope that you had a good attorney to get a good easement to get to the other property, to get to the other property, to go out. Right? Like, we were looking at buying a landlocked piece of land, and the first thing I asked about was an easement out of that property, because otherwise it's landlocked, right? That'd be the same thing with buying the other one, is you'd want an easement to get from the Kansas property to the north property, and then once you have that, then you go from the north property out.
Or...
Because those easements stay with the property.
Everybody should
have a honeymoon.
Right.
Their easement is specific to the land that's in Nebraska.
My question is just if the easement exists,
open easement,
then
but if the land changes hands
and there's access,
in Kansas,
then we don't
that
then
easement won't
we don't have
apply
to provide
to that new landowner.
More access.
It goes on forever, regardless of who has it. It's
that's the only reason. That's the only reason why it pertains.
Well,
right?
What if Lineweber sells his property in Kansas?
Then
he doesn't have an easement.
No, then all you need is an easement from the Kansas property to the other one, and you would hope you'd have an attorney
Eric.
To do that.
Eric, I'm sorry, okay. Mr. Juergens.
Have you looked at the using culverts? Have you looked at that part of it?
We don't need an easement.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
even though it's spending more money.
You got an attorney.
The bridge is the new one, it would be 50 feet long. The old bridge is, if I think,
46.
So it's a little long. You're going to find you have a hard time making a structure smaller. I mean, we've got an inventoried bridge. You go in and try to put two tubes in. I mean, you're going to have a lot of engineering done there, hydraulic studies and all kind of, you know. I just don't know how that'll look. So, and then if you're talking about putting two... Well, you're talking about a concrete culvert, like a double barrel culvert.
It'd probably be triples. Depending on how the hydraulic study. But
I don't,
minimally, I think it'd be twin 96s, 108s.
Yeah.
And that's about the max I think you can get in there with the right. flow line off
and
the bridge deck.
And then they have wings and everything. So,
and it all that one would be with that rock base. That one would have to be concrete. So we'd have to cut out or jackhammer the rock base, right. Concrete it in with the wing walls, build some false fork. I mean, it's going to take a little bit more labor, but the longevity of it is.
The longevity of any of these, that or this, are the same. I just don't know if it's any more. I don't know how much.
You'd be about half the cost of, a year ago, you'd been about half the cost of what a bridge would be.
Probably still. I mean, everything's going up, but we don't have much experience with box culverts, so we don't.
I guess it comes back to, again, we've got multiple places without bridges to them or truck or equipment access. The board just would have to decide we want to put it in here. And then how do you want to deal with the one that comes up next week?
Well, I mean, your argument could be is there a home on the other side?
There's properties that I can think of that they want to build a home. You know, everybody always wants to build a home.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as there's a nice spot that you can't get to, somebody wants to build a home, and but they don't want to pay for the road to
right.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have access to the homes.
And the landowner pays for the road work to be done on that road. For that access.
Yeah, I mean, even on township and everything, they have to pay for the upgrades.
And we do things. We don't take care of township roads.
Thank you.
You know, so we don't know. Get involved in that, I guess.
Isn't the structure there considered a home now? Does he live there? Is that his permanent residence?
Yeah, he lives there.
So whether he builds a new home or not,
he's got access.
Okay, but what is the state statute? What kind of access? Emergency equipment? I mean, is that?
It's not stated.
So you don't have to get a water truck across the bridge? Or I'm just, emergency access isn't a part of it?
I don't think it says emergency access, does it, Roger?
Access.
But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter if he's going to build a new home or not. There's a home there.
Oh. It'd be great while we're all here to have some direction to give to Kansas.
One thing I might suggest to you is get a diagram of all this stuff, get a look and see where these easements go. And certainly I'd like to talk to the council that you guys, I'm sure, have had council talk, because I'm sure a lot of this ground's already been plowed and by very competent council. And I'd like to talk to them, find out what's going on, and then assess from our standpoint what's the responsibility of this board. I mean, I understand these guys come out here, but
is that something that we can turn over to you then to talk to, request the landowners council to talk to you? And
you don't want to handle another bridge issue?
Just as well not.
Sorry. That's fine. I'll do that.
What's the right direction here, Roger?
Well, no, information is important, so we're all on the same page. Right now, I'm getting dizzy because I don't know the south side from the north side and where the creek runs and east from west and who can drive over his property to hunt deer, but he can't go over here, and that's probably backwards. But anyhow, I think that's important to get a scope of this whole thing because – you know, if we can help, I agree. You know, it's better to meet and maybe have, like, you guys talk to Mark.
No, that's...
You know, and I don't know if you've done that, but I...
Mark, our engineer.
Yeah, Mr. Gunke. Because then we can bring a plan back to you guys. Right now, we're just kind of like, anybody got an idea here?
Well, I mean...
I'm just throwing that out because I...
I would be glad to turn the bridge over to Gage County and go swap it for one of them box culverts.
I was just thinking we give you permission to put in a new bridge.
Sounds like you guys don't know what to do with a box.
I know what to do with
one. Mr. Kunke,
we'll take the State Line Bridge, they can take the Bus River Bridge.
I don't think I want that.
I don't want to delay that anymore.
Mr. Lytle?
There hasn't been a hydraulic study done on it. Mark thinks we're looking at $1,000 for a hydraulic. Somewhere in the neighborhood, we can't proceed without a hydraulic study.
I thought we were required to have a hydrologic study.
This will do the study.
Before we do a structure.
Yeah. Yes, if we ever replace something, we got to do a study on it.
Is that state statute? Or
I don't know if it's state statute. It's,
we always
have. It covers our butts is what it does.
Well, they need it to give you a design.
So here's what I would suggest then. We don't know if we're liable for this or not yet. If we could do a hydrologic study, take a look at it just so we know what sizing would be. We're probably going to come back to the same thing. In the meantime, Mark, could you coordinate between Councilor Harris, Marshall County, and then also invite counsel from Mr. Lineweber and Mr. Schultz, anyone that's dealt with this, to talk and see what the actual footprint here is, where things would lay out, including options, you know, if there is a low water crossing, maybe put something together for us on a piece of paper where we can look at it and everyone can understand. In the meantime, Mr. Harris, would you be able to kind of see, are we liable or not, or what your advice is on that?
Okay, and I'll talk to Kevin and Wayne to get who's been working on this thing, and that just may save some time, which I know time's in the essence.
Well, I know Mr. Lytle.
The other thing, just so everybody's, I guess, the other side of it. Okay, so what's the relation between Marshall County and Gage? What's, you know, why are we having this discussion? Dave's new. I'm sure Dave has done his research and he has an idea and he's been here before. But so everybody here understands, you know, why is the discussion between Marshall and Gage? You know, what is, you know, 50-50 on the bridge? You know, the hydraulic study that needs to be done, is that, you know, make sure everybody understands.
And I think the agreement that we have from 96, you said?
Right.
That says you'll cover the costs on yours, we'll cover the costs on ours up to $10,000. After that, we discuss if we're going to participate or not.
But it was a percentage.
We had a copy of that passed out a couple months ago. We had a copy of that passed out a couple months ago, I think, Mark.
If it goes over,
he did.
The way this reads, if it goes over 10,000, then it can only be, we can only proceed with a written agreement between both counties. Anything under that, I think we can do the repairs and just, we'll obviously notify one another we're going to do a repair, but we still split it 50-50. Now, anything that we inventory on ours, like the hydraulic study, I can get that, you know, we'll get that done, but we may have to split the cost of the hydraulics. So, you know, that's not a big deal either way. But so then say something down the road on goes down with you guys, then you'll take care of all the legwork. Divide it 50-50, the engineering down to the cost of bridge and everything like that, I think would be.
So if Marshall County's wanting to build a bridge, we don't like bridges and we want to get away from that type of bridge. The decision is theirs, and then we split. Then we have to split the cost. Is that other than we have to have a written agreement on it? Is that
right? We have to.
We have to agree on.
We have to agree to pay it. They can still build one, and we could not participate. But that wouldn't be very. I mean, we wouldn't want to get to that situation. I mean, we would. It'd be great if you guys want to do that. But at the same time, we want to be good neighbors with Marshall as well. I mean, that's not our intent to try do that. Mr. Jergens, I'm sorry.
I just to clarify, these roads that divide Kansas, Nebraska, it's always been unclear to me how they're maintained. What segments are there? They're always half miles where they switch or something, or what is it?
Now, I don't know. We got the townships maintain the state line road, so I don't know how they go.
But market
maintain most of ours.
They do, but I mean, but for some odd reason, the maintenance goes like to a half mile and stops. I know all the roads don't intersect with one another, but is it a mile and a half?
It is a mile and a half.
It's a mile and a half, which never made sense to me either. You know, it's a mile and a half Nebraska maintains, and another mile and a half Kansas maintains, and it just alternates like that. And maybe it's that way simply because of contour. You know, you could run into a mess one place, and if you're going to take 5 miles, you got 5 miles of.
And it's that way in undesirable. Several other counties in Nebraska,
okay.
Too.
Okay, all right. So, but that is the story,
but it's that
correct?
Way on townships, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Mile and a half. Mile.
When would we like to readdress this? Do you want to look at this? Is 2 weeks too soon to come back and look at
I don't think you'll get a hydraulic study.
No, I'll let you know when I'm scheduled, when they schedule us to do a hydraulic study.
I bet it would be after the first of the year.
Would we be able to get something together, though, with a visual along with that hydrologic study so that we can look at this? And that'll give Roger some time to look at the legality of it as well. And
we can meet out on site.
We can meet out on site as well.
January, February?
Oh, great. Sure.
No,
appropriately.
I would say I think we touch base after the holidays, because
we may not get anybody out there till our first year.
There was a time we thought this was done because we were told there's a gate and it's like problem solved.
Yeah.
I mean, a road that's not a through road. We had a gate on another piece of property just last year. Problem went away temporarily, and then it came back, and it did eventually get worked out.
Yeah, the fellow put the gate across it because he was having a little bit of problems with other people coming in and around his property. And so he just put it on because he was the only one that lived there. And soon as we found out there was a gate.
That's not a good selling point for... That's not a good selling point for needing a bridge.
Yeah.
There also used to be private drive signs at the intersection of South 80th and that road. Since then, those have been taken down, too.
Because that individual put them all up. But.
Well, with that, I would say, will you let us know once we have some more information? And it's good we were all in the same room to be able to talk about this so everybody did hear the same thing, because we all got a little bit of a mixed bag. I'm sure you guys got back and forth. I tried talking back and forth with Kevin, but half the time I don't know that I understood what I was bringing back to him, because it was different than what I thought when we started the conversation. But
I know there was a single day, I think I talked to Mr. Schultz, I talked to Mr. Lineweber, and I think I might have even talked to Marshall County stuff. It's been nonstop, and it seems like it goes away for a little bit, then it gets brought back up.
It's out of sight, out of mind, I guess, until it gets brought back up before you, and you're like, well, we got to get to it.
And one thing, I guess, my concern is always, because there are multiple sites like this, what are we legally required to provide? And then after that, what can we help with, but not bind ourselves to in a dozen or two dozen other locations?
Well, sometimes we're able to facilitate an agreement with the parties just by offering some assistance. It doesn't have to be financial. Sometimes it's expert witness or expertise, like from Mark.
That's always the best.
Or Doug.
Yeah, we might send Doug down there.
Yeah.
Send Terry down to negotiate.
Doing it on site.
All right, with that, thank you, gentlemen. Do you have anything else for us?
Well, I would suggest that, aside from this problem, maybe 96 is a long time ago to make an agreement. I think both boards ought to be looking at it and maybe sign some new agreement for the future.
Would you like to have Mr. Craig and Mr. Conkey kind of collaborate on that, or would you like to do that between the boards, or...
I would suggest they would maybe start on it, and then the boards look at it.
What'd you guys do to make him mad?
I don't know.
I can tell you, our county counselor is going to be involved. So,
well,
what we have is probably okay. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Probably
some
of the numbers are probably needed.
Just switching it every 2 miles as a safety aspect for patrols.
There you go. Yeah.
Just so long as we don't take any non-box structures.
I'll make sure we don't get any.
Be mine.
Well, you know what our
argue like over there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. We'll get some more information, and we'll go from there.
Thank you for your time, and keep us advised.
Yep, and I'll get that hydraulic study at least scheduled. And
let me know. I mean, I can...
Thank you, Mr. Blasky and Mr. Craig. Mr. Kimmerling or Mr. Schultz, do you have anything else for us on this?
Just let me know.
Thank you for addressing.
I'll try to let you know as we have something that comes up as well, just when something will be coming up, but it sounds like it'll be after the first of the year now.
Just don't do like the guys from the way. Thanks again for
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we will take a 5-minute recess at 10:05. Let's go back in.
Well,
we will reconvene at 10:13 on the clock.
This bridge was good enough.
Next item on the agenda is Sheriff Gustafson and Sergeant Rue to present the annual statistics report for the Sheriff's Office, Detention Center, and Screening Station. Morning, Sergeant.
Morning, Board. For you that don't know me, I'm Sergeant Trevor Rue from the Gitche County Sheriff's Office and Detention Center. Sheriff advised me to be here this morning to run over some annual numbers from last year to this year's. We'll get through that real quick for you. So last year's bookings numbers for males were 570, females 218, totaling 788. This year was a little higher of 618 males and females 224, a total of 842. Get into the classifications of those bookings for felonies. We had 350 misdemeanors, 345, infractions 99 for last year. This year's was also significantly higher. Felonies was 587, misdemeanors 987, wow, and infractions 422. With an explanation to those totals, we've made some changes in data input and some additional training. So those numbers may have been higher last year, but they're doing a better job of getting it properly into the system that we use. So we'll go to arresting agencies. Last year, Sheriff's Office had 447, Beatrice Police had 249, Wymore Police 7, Nebraska State Patrol 18, total in 721. This year, for the Sheriff's Office, was 535, Beatrice Police 267, Wymore Police 9, Nebraska State Patrol 19. Total is 830 for this year. Our population is continuing to increase after COVID's kind of died off. Last year we were at 26 on average. This year is 30, and we're kind of sitting steady around 30 here the last few months. Transport miles, it always goes up when population goes up. Last year was 2813. This year is 3863. Money income, even though our population did go up, it doesn't really mean that our income will go up because we ship a lot of those inmates out. And all it takes is a couple dozen inmates throughout the year to have some money to burn. Makes a difference there, too. But for last year's fingerprint intake, we had 1,820. Income from phone usage was 2,819. Commissary income was a total of 4,674. And visitation was 75, totaling $9,388.83. This year's... everything was a little bit lower, 1,565 for a fingerprint. Inmate usage for phone was 1,569. Commissary income, 3,352. And inmate visitation, $15, totaling $6,501.79. Outside holding has for the population increased. Last year was $128,992.76. This year was $174,366.65. In the medical categories, for non-contractual, we spent a total of $42,449 last year. This year was $51,850. We do have a program that we go through for critical care, which ended up saving the county $42,417.93 this year.
Would you say that again, please, Trevor? The savings through critical care savings?
That was $42,417.93.
How do you achieve that?
So that company, what they do is they help utilize our Medicaid and the billing processes. There's a lot of things when it comes to where you order your stuff from, you know, those types of resources. Paying bills off in advance, 30 days in advance, things like that, that efficiency, you get discounts through those things as well. All that adds up, you know, over time. So they save quite a bit of money there. Last year, vision, we spent $0. This year, the same. Dental, $235. Last year, this year, $356. And then we spent a total of $3,941 for out-of-county. medical, and this year was 4,981. So total medical last year was 46,625.87, and this year was 57,188.12. So there's a lot of little things that play into it, and I can try to answer some of those questions if you guys have any questions. Otherwise, I'll turn it over to the sheriff or chief.
Trevor, I'm just curious. Do you have a little more explanation? I mean, we had 100 more arrests. I know you said there was something booking wise, but we had 100 more arrests, and it looks like we had 1,200 more bookings. What's the disparity there? I mean, what were we doing different that created that much of a disparity?
So with the total bookings, yeah, you're looking just under 100 difference, and then you were talking about the arrest itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So what it really comes down to is the approximate numbers is because in the program we have, it's called JAMIN. It's a data justice solution system is what they call it. And long story short, in reality of it is human error, a lot of it, and what goes into what category. And like I said, revising some training, we kind of went over a lot of things since I took over administration parts in April, and I think that's made a difference there for sure. That's probably the best answer I give you right now on the details on why that's that way.
All right.
Trevor, thank you. Along with Sergeant Van Langham, we talked before, and you've continued the management over at the jail. For you guys that don't know, Trevor also runs the jail, of course, and he's years ago we had differences in opinion on what's getting bought, what's not getting purchased. Trevor does a good job of trying to keep costs down consistently. He's very responsible at the county's money, does a good job over at the jail. We just passed jail inspections again this year, and we're in compliance. So from our side, as you guys do a great job, it's easy for us because we're not dealing with things over there. So I just want to tell you thank you for not just doing a good job now, but continuing to do a good job. And we do appreciate it.
No, we appreciate that, and we definitely take the job serious, and our goal is to be 100% as best we can in every evaluation we have. I do appreciate those words. I do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, you never scratched my back like that in all the times I've been up here.
If you started acting more like that.
Heck.
He doesn't get caught.
What do you want your back scratched?
Well, I took Christ. Sure, rub something. I don't care. Okay.
Maybe if you give some of that stuff we give you down to your guys.
Yeah. Don't touch those rumors. All right, Sheriff's Office. We'll start to the first page. We had 6,623. This year, last year, was 5,390. On the accidents, we had 287. Last year, had 275. Citations, 196 compared to 213 last year. We had warnings of 503 this year and 351 last year. We had 1,027 arrests compared to 835 last year. And we had 84 burglaries compared to 93 last year. We had 168,251.20 in loss from thefts and whatever compared to 164,762.98. We recovered 37,974.49 compared to 3,384 last time around. We served 700 papers compared to 746. We had 319 distress warrants, 295 last year. Fees earned of 9,797.24 compared to 6,042.41. Mileage, was 10,733.14 compared to last year's 9,270.51. We made $21 on copies, $90.75 last year. On distress warrants, collected in full was 3,546.12, and we did 5,797.80 last year. And no partial pays either last year or this year to date. Town inspections this year was 14,660 compared to 14,170. The patrol unit miles driven approximately was 248,981 compared to 231,526. And monies reimbursed, this be on grants, overtimes, whatever from grants, was 47,893.01. Last year, 3,896.97. We had 47 drug violations compared to 39 last year. And we had 808 open door billing checks compared to 19 last year. I'll explain in a second why that is. We had 11 open doors found this year and 10 last year. The new category added this year is 36. I want to show that for search warrants to show the difference it's making when we have a full-time investigator working drugs and drug-related crimes quite a bit of time. That number is way up there. So that contributes to a lot of the numbers you see up here on prior loss and recovered. On the billing checks, when we have a supervisor or sergeant on day shift, he can monitor those when they come in. And we can see the difference, and trying to have somebody here to monitor that, like I said, during the daytime, watching our cards, people call in to us. We know that they're out there doing that. Sometimes they can't because they're going busy on calls, but that did make a big jump because, and it depends on people, too. If you got young guys out there versus the older ones, sometimes they're a little more active, but that's a good number I like to see on that. So
That's not as much they weren't checked. They were just wasn't recorded.
Could very well be, you know, because I get calls quite often that
our guys have their eyes open. There wasn't just 19 building checks the year before.
It depends. They might have put a card there. They're supposed to, because I know they do, because I get a lot of calls, honestly, throughout the year, because people appreciate that and see that they're doing that. So
now, building checks, is it a physical thing?
Supposed to be physical.
Okay.
Get out, shake the door.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Sometimes make a spotlight. Try not to do the same thing every time to get a routine for the criminal to watch. But
come in the other way.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, good.
One thing we added this year, I had the Sergeant Hansen put something there. We won't go through all this. You can read that at leisure when you have time. I thought it was important you guys get to see what the two investigators do. Lots of times, I can tell you that Matt's probably in front of the computer more than anything else, just putting cases together. Tremendous amount of time and effort to do that stuff. But it'll give you some idea of the numbers and what they all do and generate and the responsibilities that they do have. If there's questions on that, I can certainly answer them for you, or we can go over that another time. You can ask questions on it. But I did want you to have that since this is the first year we kind of had that up and running. On the Brian couldn't be here today. He's busy with court, so I'll just go over quickly with his screening station stats. We have 625 inmates who were brought to the courthouse for court hearings. At 10,076 patrons were screened. We had 122 knives, 12 canisters of pepper spray, one taser, 3 shotgun shells, 3 canisters or containers of alcohol were found at the screening station. Citations issued was 7 for driving under suspension, 1 traffic offense, 1 possession of marijuana, 1 driver license fraud, and 1 carried concealed weapon. Did you hear me on that, Mr. Chairman?
I'm breaking up, Sheriff.
I'm sure I was. Served 4 civil summons, removed an intoxicated person, arrested 48 people on outstanding warrants. 45 people were remanded in custody by the judge. Then he had the courthouse was trained on domestic violence, and that was a facility through the Hope Crisis Center. So another good year for him on catching some things coming through there. I'm waiting to see what we're going to find on the baggage scanner if that is helping some as well. So, any questions?
Gus?
Yes, sir.
What would constitute me to be able to get a warning? You had 503 of them.
Depends. Again, that comes back. We're being generous. In your case,
thank you.
To you, I make your citation. What I would.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah.
But I knew Eric would like to see that because the numbers were up on one and down on the other. It just depends if we're doing grants.
I mean, are those mostly speeding violations you're looking
pretty
at?
Pretty much there? Most of the time, I would assume. Yeah. And if we're doing as many grants, they're just being left alone to do nothing with traffic. That'll make up for some of the numbers we're getting probably on that as well. But I try to get the guys to blend it: citations, fix it tickets, warnings. And it's just all around doing your job. So.
Okay.
probably some good PR for you guys, too, where...
Well, never hurts.
Just a reminder sometimes to somebody, and...
Sometimes a stop and a talk goes a long ways as well. Depends on their attitude back to us. Sometimes not. Right, Eddie?
Jeez.
I'm talking years ago. Excuse me, years ago. Okay. Anything else?
You're bad.
One more question.
Yes.
The search warrants, 36 of them, there were none issued before you just started recording?
We started recording. We had a few, but we never had nothing like that before. And that comes down, I want to do that because we have an investigator doing a lot of drugs. That's what he does.
Right. Now. And that is that what constitutes getting a search warrant?
A lot of it.
Is
drugs. Drugs and...
Okay, good.
Anything else related to that, yes.
Yeah.
He's trying to show that the money that we gave him to hire that is worthwhile.
Yeah, he is certainly earning it.
Along with that, too, I want to point out another number. Last year, $3,300 in recovered property. This year, $38,000 in recovered property. That's going the right way. I mean, the two big things are always drugs and crime. Theft, I guess.
Same thing with the grants. He's got an extra $45,000 in grants. Okay, so.
Drugs and stealing. Two things.
I'm 100% bought in on what we did. I mean, I know everybody's doing it, but Matt's definitely doing a good job.
You know, exceptional job. You just can leave him alone, and he still comes out and steals on the road once in a while, just like Hanson does, but for sure, he does a hell of a job. So.
Hey, Gus, I just got one more question.
Yeah.
The search warrant thing. Do most of them come from investigation or from somebody turning somebody in?
Why are you so worried about this?
I don't know. I'm just curious. I like watching them cop movies. Well, you don't have to answer that if you don't want. But I'm just wondering.
The short answer is a combination of both.
Okay.
Keep the shades pulled, Terry.
Okay.
Please.
I was just curious about it.
When you say people calling people in, who are you talking about?
A neighbor said, hey, something's going on over at this house here. Would you go please check it out or whatever? Does that say that you could go get a search warrant to do that? Does it?
No, not typically.
Yeah.
Now, the citizen who calls in may start the investigation. That's ultimately, weeks or months later, may result in search warrant. But
yeah,
Matt.
So it is something takes time to be able to get it then?
Typically, yes. Okay. Typically, yes.
Good. I think you're doing a good job.
But not always. I mean... So investigations are long-term, short-term, long-term, but they're specific, and that's a perfect example of how an investigation starts. Hey, there's a lot of traffic at my neighbor's house, people coming and going or whatnot, and there's a lot of informants. But, a good road patrol investigation, a good all well-rounded deputy that is well-supervised, we get a call for service. The one that comes to mind, somebody came in the sheriff's office on a Christmas Eve, said that, hey, my daughter's up at the Travelers Lodge. She's doing meth. This guy's dealing meth. He went to Hastings to get a quarter ounce or whatever. That case is over with, right? It's been years ago. But, that was the case. Road patrol, we got the search warrant. We woke the judge up in the morning. We executed it that morning. We made that arrest. We sat on it and arrested him. Another search warrant, real simple one would be, again, a good thorough investigation like the county attorney's office would want. We arrest somebody for a protection order violation because they're calling, texting, whatever. We seize their phone, get a search warrant for the phone. That wouldn't be an investigations thing. That'd be a road patrol function, but other examples of those. That's...
Anything else? Okay. Boy, this is nice to hear you guys talk to. I appreciate it.
I got time to kill today. Am I under investigation for anything, Gus?
I can't answer that.
He can't tell you. All right,
let's go. Better question is, should you be?
Yeah, I should be.
Well, I'm seeing why my trailer's not done.
Speaking of which, the tarp should come first because, as you know, they need to be covered. Because you'll be told, or stop on the two.
They have tarps. Okay. One of them's down there getting a tarp.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Sheriff's Department does that because I'm thinking years back, you know, one of my neighbors was watching some suspicious stuff in the neighborhood, and he tells me about it, and I said, well, call the sheriff. He said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get involved, okay?
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
So I did, okay? And Gus sent somebody out, proceeded to show him where that place was, and next thing you know, there's a search warrant for the place across the street, and this thing was solved, okay? So that's how they go about it.
It's important we have, there's more eyes and ears out there of civilians in our law enforcement, so we appreciate those calls.
And just along with this for the media, there's a sheriff's sale coming up. I heard comments, like I say, there's $38,000 of recovered property here. That's a fantastic number. This sheriff's sale is not for recovered property. It's not stolen property that people are not getting back. It's not surplus equipment. This is an individual court order against a company, and his property is being liquidated. But it's not, you're not going to go to that sale and buy back your property. This is an individual company that's being liquidated by the court system. The sheriff just has to serve as the holder and the liquidator and the
I think Denny was going to talk this week or did already. On Quibi is going to make sure he mentioned that, and then also correct that on our post, on our website, so they can see that it's not their property being sold. So, hopefully, clarify that up for everybody.
When's inspection of stuff? Anytime?
Well, last heard Denny was going to be the day before the 16th from 1 to 5, but that wasn't listed there. I don't know why, but that's what he told me is going to be. So, yep. Okay, well, with that, everything else I have will be closed session from this point on, I guess. So,
all right. Thank you, Sheriff. We have one more item.
Yeah.
Prior to closed session.
This on file.
Oh, dang it. Gary left and I missed it. I'd ask for a motion to place the sheriff and sergeant's reports on file. Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Place these reports on file. All reports as given. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discussion item, potential dust control on South 80th, north of Highway 8. This is the 2-mile stretch between Highway 8 and Hard Rock Quarry. There's a large amount of material going out of there right now. I had a request from the hauler for safety of his units as well as for the neighbors for potential to put down some type of dust control there at their expense. I did get a text yesterday about that. It said there was some discussion and there was some apprehension for calcium chloride because of rust issues and corrosion issues in the future. They asked if there's an alternative to that they could use. They're open to anything. They just want something that keep the dust down with the county's blessing.
The only thing with that product, and you know, we said we could use it before, it's just using it correctly. So we're gonna, you know, fix the road up, apply it, water it in, pack it, then it can be done. Because then they close that road for the day, and then that corrosion rust issue is lessened. Then it doesn't immediately stick to the vehicles.
But it's still a corrosion potential, isn't it?
It's not as because you've water packed it and done it correctly and put it into the material, which is what that gentleman, I don't remember what his name was.
I can't remember.
Fall guy.
Remember.
Oh, Joe.
Joe. That's how, I mean, that's the correct way to apply it, and that's the way we were going to apply it if we were to do it on a county road.
What about mineral oil? Was that ever brought up?
I asked him about some other type of oil that was non-corrosive and just something to spray down, so that they aren't using water or anything. They seem to be open to anything. I'm kind of like Emily on the that had other issues that went along with it. It held the road in place and all the other things if you did that. But then Mark had voiced concern, if you shape that road and you hold it that way, is that going to cause problems with blading and stuff?
They encourage blading. They encourage blading with that product. And that, and, but what I'm saying is to apply that product or a dust control product, we need to apply it correctly, pack it in, do it right, and then it would last. Putting it on top has the corrosive issue. It doesn't last. It's not worth it.
What are your thoughts using an oil or a soy oil or some other biodegradable something dust control?
Is there something available that works?
I don't know.
First of all, who's going to pay for this?
The hauler wants to pay for all of it.
Okay.
The product that I'm aware of that is used, I know in Hanover Co-op, is a product called mineral oil. Okay? It's a food grade, and you get a lot of traffic on there that's on dirt down there. They will spray that. I don't know how often, though, but they will spray that down with a small rig they have across dirt. Now, this isn't rock. Most of it's probably dirt, but that will control that dust. I don't know the length of the control, though.
Do you see any bad side effects with that?
No. It's a food grade. There's nothing harmful with it that I know of. I mean, if they're willing to try something, that's the thing I would try. Maybe contact Gary, probably familiar with it. I don't know if they use it there, but I know it's used in Hanover.
It's 2 miles?
Yeah. It's
that would take a lot of mineral oil.
And that could be the issue, too. And it could be expensive. I don't know.
Well, like I say, the cost isn't the county's concern. We don't want to do anything detrimental to our road, and I would rather not have corrosion issues either.
Well, I don't know that your corrosion issue, what's worse, the dust issue or the corrosion issue? I mean, the dust is a safety issue. Perhaps the corrosion is something we'll just have to accept. And it's with the amount of truck traffic that's on it, it'll get worked in. But I guess I would suggest we talk to Lancaster County engineer and see what they do, because I know they use dust control products on their county roads in their construction projects. So does Douglas County.
Mr. Conkey,
what do they require? Sorry.
We're talking about dust control on the 2 miles between Highway 8 and Hard Rock Quarry in Barnston Township. There's a hauling company going to a project over at Steel City. It's wanting to put down a dust control product. Mr. Juergens has suggested like a mineral oil or some type of just a spray on dust control that's not going to do any damage to the road or to vehicles. Not at the county's expense, of
correct.
Course.
Correct. It's the long-term possibilities of what's going to happen. I truly don't think would be anything happening to the road based off the material, but, I mean, water would probably do the same aspect. Cheaper, probably in the long run, too. Cold weather days, yes, we don't want to probably be spraying it, but you're also probably not going to be having a whole lot of dust. But it's, I don't see an issue with it to keep traffic control with the amount of trucks that are going to be pulling out of there. I don't see an issue.
Do you have a preference? I mean, there was.
I don't have a preference. I just think that if they are going to do it, that it should be in writing that the road be put back into best possible condition or as-is conditions after they are complete.
Eric, one of the things discussed before is that we do our own work and build out, because we do our own work on our own county roads. We don't allow other people to do that work. So if they want to do something that changes that, then the county is going to do it and it's going to be built accordingly.
And that would be my fear with reworking a road with that calcium chloride or...
No, it'd be the county that does it. It'd be built out that way. If they want to do it that way, we discussed it. If they want to do it that way, then pay for it. County will do the work. We'll do it right, put it in the way it's supposed to be done, and then it's a lasting material that...
Stabilizes road.
If that's what the way we want to do it, then...
Were there issues with blading the road up and reshaping it and using that? I thought there was something with you couldn't blade it.
With that calcium chloride, yes.
If you did the complete rework of a road with that.
You're eliminating that product that's getting sprayed because it creates like a humidity control of something. And then plus when you're turning it, you're you're damaging the product that's you're more or less almost.
He encouraged it.
According to Joe Thorell, the representative from that company at Hastings, that you do want, you don't have to work it as often, but you do need to work it in order to, it will last longer because it will even pull the humidity in, if there is humidity, pull humidity out of the air to help keep that material. It has takes moisture for it to continue to work well.
And I mean, full disclosure, this is a company that's working out of a company I work with. Just
a commercial company should just pave that section of road.
It would be really nice. But I mean, it makes me no difference, though. I'm just, they asked about it, and I'm bringing it up. I would rather see it not be something permanent like the worked-in product. I would
they'd
rather
have to close the road. You can't afford that.
Well, they'd just take another road, I suppose. But, I mean, the township would howl about that. But the township wants to keep everybody right there. Every time anyone diverts from that, legally they can go any direction. They're strongly, strongly encouraged to only go one direction. This particular customer, that's part of the agreement, so that it would keep them off of the township drives. I would rather see a spray-on product. I like water. Winter time's here. If they're out there with water today, that's a whole nother issue.
Wouldn't really matter today.
Well, it still matters.
We're looking at this for strictly dust control, not the additional control.
Just to keep dust down for the neighbors.
Because even Joe, when we were talking about dust only on the Virginia Road, they backed off of needing it rubber tire compacted. They backed off of needing it worked as much. But, of course, you would only get dust control. You wouldn't get aggregate benefits. You wouldn't get the savings of other things. So I would imagine there is a – I believe it would probably have to be bladed in at least as it's just poured on top. I think there needs to be some guidance there. I mean, the application rate – of course, they won't want to put on any more than they have to. I mean, it costs them more money. But
what is the time frame that this contractor will be hauling out of there?
From now through the end of April.
Oh.
Mr. Juergens.
Being down working on Highway 8, I can't guarantee all those trucks were coming from your pit, but approximately every 5 minutes you would meet a loaded truck going west.
That's about right. About every
is that what it is?
About every three to 5 minutes.
That, what I'm saying is you're seeing more than likely semis meeting semis on that county road. I see why they're requesting it. No need to talk about it. Tell them to use mineral spurs or oil or water and go for it. Try it. You know, and I can see the neighbor issue too, because I'm telling you, it's a constant flow of trucks out of there.
I feel bad
it's
for
a safety issue for
the neighbors there on the road have been very good, but it's challenging, I'm sure, for them. Should I have them clear anything that they're going to do through Mark, just so that he has eyes on it, or that way? And then the direction would be
nothing else to do,
some type of oil or
I mean,
or water, not
if
salt.
They're going to do oil, I think they should submit all the proper data for it. You know, and their rate of discharge, what they plan on, a game plan.
Do you have a contractor you would like them to use, or a direction, or? Or what was fellow's name?
They're just trying to do it as dust control. I mean, in previous employment, it was all water down a dirt road, and that was around UNL, anywhere in Lincoln. They just did it twice a day and dust control, and that was it.
They watered it down?
Watered it, and it was year-round.
That's what we do generally.
But I mean, because of the time of year it is, they're wanting to use something else other than water.
It... 25 degrees. I mean, traffic and sunshine.
Yeah, if they're, you can go down with a water truck, and if there's a loaded truck coming right behind it, it's not going to freeze. It's going to roll that gravel and that rock around, and it's just going to mix it up, and it's not going to freeze.
Well, it's in the truck, in the valves, and then.
But as long as he's flowing, he's good. Okay, so I mean, as long as there's flow coming out, he's not going to freeze up.
Ground,
on the truck.
Groundwater is what, 56 degrees.
I'm talking about, where does he get the water? How far does he have to travel?
I don't know.
Mr. Juergens.
All right. I think we've talked about this long enough. Let's turn it over to Mark. You handle it. It's your road.
Okay? I thought you had nothing else to do.
I'm getting itchy now.
The trailer's still cut. Mineral oil, water. I'll talk to you later about that. Then. Anything else for the good of the order before a closed session? If not, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:48 on the clock.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. This will be for security, contract negotiations, and personnel. No.
Personnel, yes.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I was like, that way nobody knows who I
am.
Gotta shut the door.
Mr. Kunky, how long do you need for personnel, because our closed session will be twofold, one for personnel for you and then for security with the highway department.
If I can jump in front of Gus, I would love to.
That you would.
I don't, 15, 20 minutes, hopefully. It should take longer.
Five.
Five minutes.
We will go into a closed session for personnel first at 10:48 on the clock. I have a motion by Dorn, second by Swavely.
Don't forget your little ditty.
Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. We'll, as soon as Mr. Kunky leaves, then we'll have the Sheriff's Department back in for security and contract negotiations. 10:48. Please vote. Seven in favor. We'll come out of closed session at 12:47 on the clock. Anything else for the good of the order?
No. You have to vote.
Oh.
You need a motion.
I make a motion to come out of the second session.
Moved by Schuler, second by Lytle to come out of closed session at 12:47. Please vote. Four in favor.
No, it's four.
Four in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn at 12:47.